obviously haunted.
Obviously.
So
I feel like I should be using like a radio voice from the 30s. Like
hello. Wait, hold on. What's a radio?
I know.
Shit.
We're going to need to be quicker for the podcast. But I guess you can edit out the cuts, which is cool.
Yeah.
Make us sound like we're so much faster than
all of this is staying are. In. All of it's staying in. All right. I mean, to be honest, like, part of what I do is just embrace the idiocy, so it'll be fine. Okay.
I'm just thinking of, like, the scene in Annie where they're, like, doing the never fully dressed without a smile thing, and, like, doesn't that start with a guy who's talking like this with his nasally, like...
That's pretty good.
Okay. We're getting closer.
So, hey, see? It's almost Halloween. No, I'm terrible. Okay, anyway. So here we are. We are sort of Halloween multitasking. I was totally going to make you paint my nails, and I'm not now because I can't think about that.
I'm a terrible multitasker, so it's for the best.
Yeah, but we are multitasking anyway because we've got cookie dough chilling, and it has to chill for 45 minutes. So in that 45 minutes, I'm going to tell you a creepy story.
Do we do an intro first?
I
forgot you're a professional.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
I'm Becky.
And I'm Maria.
And Porterville, California is obviously haunted.
That was good, our first try.
Shit. The rest of it's going to be crap. Okay.
Yep. We peaked.
It's just like high school football players everywhere. We have peaked. You're from
sad.
Oh, are you sad? Are you a high school football player?
No.
Did you play football in high school?
No, but just the idea of like high school being your peak years makes me really sad.
That's because you were a nerd.
I was a nerd. I was a depressed nerd.
Also a nerd. It's hard to suck in high school, but it's okay because things get better.
It sets the bar low, which is what we just did not do with the podcast.
Exactly,
yeah.
Which is why the rest of the podcast is going to suck. Okay, so you're from California.
Mm-hmm.
I am not from California. Where are you from in California?
So I'm from a little town called Sebastopol, which is about an hour and a half north of San Francisco. It's like one like hopscotch from San Francisco. There's another county between me and San Francisco
where I grew up. One hopscotch?
One hopscotch.
Like, what are those things where you draw it on the ground?
The official term.
And you go, like, throw a stone, and then you, like, go, oh, like, I hop on one foot, and there are two here.
I never learned the rules for that. I just jumped through the hopscotch several times, and I was like, this was fun.
I just hopped across the sidewalk for a minute. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a stupid game. Okay, cool. I found a story that is literally nowhere near that. Full disclosure, I did a lot of searching for wine country ghosts. I didn't find a lot of stuff that had a lot of history behind them, or it was more like, oh, this vineyard has weird shit that happens at it. And so I probably could have done more research, but I didn't, because I found a story I liked that is like 5-ish hours away from you. In Porterville. So Porterville is outside of Bakersfield.
Okay.
Which is much further south and inland.
Right. I want to say that I think I know where that is, but I'm just going to not say anything in case I'm like dead off.
Or you could just say it because literally nobody will know. Do your parents listen to this podcast?
No, but they're going to.
Oh, you think? Oh, I didn't even think you'd like to be supportive. Okay, cool. Two new listeners. Hi, Maria's parents.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Cool. I'm already sorry for dropping F-bombs, but it's gone.
Oh, I was actually about to ask you before we started recording if you're cool with swearing, because I couldn't remember if y'all swear.
So much swearing. Okay.
That's what I thought, but...
Enough swearing to make my mother uncomfortable.
Cool.
Okay.
That's the way I like it.
That's the way I like it, too. Okay, so part of the reason that I chose what I chose, I wanted something a little more lighthearted, a little more fun after Amityville, which was a bummer.
It's a doozy.
It's hard. So what I searched was bootlegger ghosts.
As you do.
Yeah. And you think, like, and a lot of stuff came up, but this story came up, and it might be, like... There are bootleggers. There's definitely alcohol involved. There's card playing, and we could talk some shit about bastards and the patriarchy and whatever. And so it's fun. Okay.
Always down for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. So good. So I think, personally, I think it's kind of lighthearted. And I'm just, like, really into this family. All right. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the history. And I'm going to tell you sort of the ghost story, like the story that led to the haunting. And then we're going to talk about what the haunting is now, like what happens in this location now. And then maybe we're going to go into a little bit of debunking. Right. And then we're going to grade it. And it's just a standard F through A kind of a scale. Okay?
Okay.
This is the story of the Zalud House, or the Zalud House, depending on who you are. I guess it's just going to be Zalud now. It's the Zalud House.
Sounds like a fancy salad, which is so Californian, I can't even.
The Zalud House? Is it the Zalud
House? No, it's the Zalud House with a Z.
With a Z. Mm-hmm. I told...
It's no, not your typical salad.
It's a fancy salad. It's, fancy it's actually salad. Just an S backwards.
Yeah.
It's a salad. Okay. Oh, shit. We are opening this chain. We're going to make $1 billion.
Okay, sorry. Do continue with your story.
Trademark. Trademark it.
Yeah, that's right.
Zalud. The Zalud House. Okay. Actually, it's probably trademark because it's, like, legitimately a museum. So, the Zalud House is a museum in Porterville, California. And I'm going to tell you about the Zalud House. John Zalud and his wife, Mary Jane, immigrated to the United States from Bohemia.
True Bohemians.
Actual Bohemians in 1866. I could have looked up when Bohemia became Czechoslovakia or part of Czechoslovakia. I did not. I did look up that Bohemia did eventually become part of Czechoslovakia, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Ahead of the game. So for those of you who don't know, who didn't just Google it, Bohemia was part of the area that became Czechoslovakia. John Zalud and his family, they moved to Porterville, California, and he's like a restaurateur, and he starts a saloon / card room. So depending on the article, I read several articles, and one of the articles refers to it as a tavern. I feel like tavern gives it like a hipstery vibe. Like, I feel like there are IPAs there. Mm-hmm. People with mustaches, which actually in 1866 would have been like just people.
Actually fashion forward at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It would not have been hipster. It would have just been how everybody looked. So probably it did look exactly like a hipster bar now. But in my head, they were dirtier and like playing cards and gambling and getting into bar fights. Because that just seems like more fun to me.
Yeah.
A saloon, right? That seems like fun. He became very successful at this, and I feel like this shouldn't be any surprise because he hits California like at the very end of the gold rush. Cranky prospectors who have too much money but no women because they spent all their lives prospecting and now they have nothing to show for it except for like money to blow, right? They want to gamble, they want to drink.
Definitely.
It's the right time to own a saloon.
Gotta ride that wave.
Ride it. 1891, he's so successful, he decides to build a mansion in Porterville. This mansion, even at that time, stood out not only because it was large, it was a large house, a successful family, but because it had this fancy European architecture, specifically this roof that was, it's called a mansard style roof. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. It's a mansard style roof, which essentially gives you like a whole nother floor where the attic would be. So it makes like the top floor livable space.
Mm.
So it's like having even more room. It's highly decorated. It's full of beautiful crap. He and his wife have 6 children. Only 3 of them live to adulthood. And they were Anna, Edward, and Pearl, who was the baby of the family.
Was that common at the time to not have 50% of your children live to adulthood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The infant mortality rate used to be really, really high.
That's not a good success rate.
Well, that's why people had so many babies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you hear about these families that were like, oh, and then we had 11 children. Well, you had to have 11 children because...
Then 10 you of get them 2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a terrible thing to laugh at.
Yeah,
we just like really laughed at that, and that's pretty fucked up.
Oh.
And we're done. Good night.
Yeah.
They had 6 children. 3 of them lived to adulthood. Pearl was the last Zalid to live in the home. She passed in 1970, and the whole estate was donated to the city. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about that later. But the home was only ever occupied by that one family, which is really cool.
So then it became a museum after Pearl?
Right. Okay. So it was donated to the city, and then in 1977, it was converted into a museum with everything in the home being like the original possessions of the owners. For the most part, almost everything. And it operates now as a museum. It has a rose garden attached to it, and you can rent out the rose garden for your wedding, and you can go to the museum and do other stuff. And I thought it was kind of funny because you can rent out the rose garden for your wedding, and you're allowed to have champagne toasts, but absolutely no alcohol other than a champagne toast is allowed. And he owned a saloon!
Yeah. The hypocrisy.
Let's talk ghost story. The Zalid family is hit with a string of tragedies after they build this mansion in Porterville. And most of these tragedies have led to some kind of interesting paranormal activity in the house, in the home. First and foremost, this family just seemed like a ton of fun, like too much fun for this time period, for real. I've seen pictures, and I'll probably post some pictures on Instagram of the family. Every picture, they're like smiling and laughing, and in particular, the women of the family are laughing.
Yes.
And I have to say, when you have a picture full of like people in 1907 or like 1892, and all the women are laughing and the men are laughing along with them, and they're all standing side by side and not like having the women sit a couple of inches below the men or something, like,
right?
I feel like this is a family I want to be a part of. They clearly were, they enjoyed each other's company. They also, they were involved in gambling and adultery, and I'm not saying adultery is fun, but I don't know, but bootlegging is pretty fun. So they were involved in all kinds of illicit activities, and in general just seemed like a pretty fun group of people. Second, there were a lot of deaths in and around the house and a lot of objects in the house that are connected to those deaths, so that a lot of paranormal investigators feel that hauntings happen around trigger objects. And a lot of times an object that was connected to the death of a person will be like a trigger object, right? So we'll talk about ghost adventures and trigger objects.
I've never heard that term in my life. But to be fair, I'm pretty new to the whole like paranormal world.
Good.
I had to Google, I don't even remember their names now. Your friends, the Warrens.
Ed and Lorraine.
Ed and Lorraine.
My best buddies. My best friends, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah, they have nothing to do with this story, which might be why
tragic.
I'm so excited to tell it. I'm like, stay in the New England area, Ed and Lorraine. All right. Yeah, let's get into it. Mary Jane, who I thought was the mother, but I guess was one of the younger daughters of the Zalid family, is the first of these tragic deaths, and it came after a long illness. So she contracted tuberculosis and was sick for a very long time and spent a long time in her sick bed before she passed. But she did die in the home, and it was a very hard loss for the family. So sometime later, there was another tragic loss, but this time having to do with Anna Zalid Brooks, who is one of the only Zalid children to marry. This story is bananas, and I love it. We're going to talk about it later. But she was married to a man named William, and this guy was, at best, a philanderer. And
philanderer. That's a good
cheating
word.
Cheating bastard.
Okay, thank you.
Cheating.
I thought that's what it meant, but it was...
Bastard, a philanderer. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with a philanthropist, Which is very different. And we've already had that confusion on this show. So we know the difference. Yeah. So William Brooks was at best a philanderer, at worst one of those fucking beta boy liars who spreads rumors about women. Either way, he was a douchebag. He worked in finance, and his work kept him away from home a lot. Does this sound like a familiar story?
What I was just thinking. So I was like, I bet she had like a best friend, quote unquote, who would like sleep over at her house. You, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know what I'm talking about? Guy was gone all day, all, you know, business trips.
Maybe so we'll talk about how happy a person Annie Zeller was.
That's right. Maybe she had the perfect situation.
It's possible. It's possible that she was like, you know what, dude?
She was a strong, empowered woman.
Yep. Like, you do you. I'm going to do me. As long as everything is cool.
By the way, Betsy's coming over later.
We're going to have a sleepover. Slumber party.
That's great.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So let's pretend that's the case. But I still want to think that this guy is a douchebag.
Yeah,
so.
No, for sure.
And either way, even if he was on the up and up with his wife, he still kind of deserved to get shot.
Oh. All right.
Oh, I didn't even say. Spoiler.
Oh, cover your ears, shot. Everyone.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there are two stories. Either William Brooks was disparaging this young woman's name, Julia Howe, because she was the wife of one of his coworkers in this business. It's some kind of financial business. And in one story, well, in the story that's like in the newspapers of the time, she had denied his advances. He had tried to start an affair with her, but being an upright woman, she had said, no, 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 I'm married, and had not. But being hurt, being all but hurt about it, he'd spread rumors about her anyway. And I read this, like, this is a verbatim quote from a, I'm not even fucking with you. This is a verbatim quote from a newspaper article at the time that this happened in, it was like 1917, I think. It was 1917. And in this newspaper article, it says Brooks spread rumors about her and called her a, quote, real hot lover. She was a real hot lover.
That's right. There it is. There's your radio point.
We found it. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's, like, the worst thing he could have said. Like, it was terrible. Because these things that he said about her got back to Howe's husband and caused problems in their marriage. Yeah. So either he really did just spread rumors and she wasn't a real hot lover at all. At least not his. Or the other story that you could consider was probably more accurate is that they did have an affair and he just couldn't keep his fucking mouth shut, which is still shitty. Like, just very keep shitty. Your mouth shut. She's your coworker's wife. Like,
he interviewed with the newspaper?
No. No. No, it was
in my head, he's like telling a reporter, oh yeah, she was a real hot lover.
He takes out an ad in the paper. He's like, that Julia Howe, she's a real hot lover. Oh my god. No. It was an article about his murder, and it was like explaining what he had said that had led to this.
So this is all kind of hearsay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is making more sense now.
I like the idea that, like, that's just like, that would be like the 1917 equivalent of putting that shit on Facebook. Yeah. You know, like, oh,
I was like, wow, something's really never changed.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, so it's 1917. It's November. And Julia Howe has tracked Brooks down. And she's staying at the Pioneer Hotel in Porterville. Brooks is there as well. And he's like wining and dining some ranchers and talking to them about raising money for the war effort. I can't say Brooks is all bad, because apparently this is something that everyone in the Zollard family were actually philanthropists. So they all gave a lot back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
you know, maybe to make up for all that sinful living. I don't know.
Yeah. They were Catholic.
Oh, well, I don't know if they were Catholic. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were. He was a philanthropist as well as a philanderer. But he was sitting around with some ratty cattlemen. He's wining and dining them and talking about giving back to the community. And here comes Julia Howe and marches up to him and pulls a pistol out of her purse and fires it four times. She shoots him four times. One of the shots punctures his heart, exits out of the back of him, and puts a hole in the chair that he's sitting in. And that chair now resides at the Zealot House. The actual chair with the bullet hole
I just got chills. Not even at the haunting part.
What's crazy is that Howe was tried and found not guilty and set free.
How many people saw her do this?
Oh, like everybody. And she confessed. And she like talked about it in the newspaper. And actually was quoted as saying, I can't remember the verbatim quote and I'm not going to look it up, but it was something like, it was a good job too.
I love her.
Apparently she was very attractive. Yeah. And it got her into all of the up and coming homes in the Porterville area. So she was a real looker, see? That was terrible. No, it was bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize to all of my listeners. I'm really sorry that I did that. No, but she was apparently good looking. She's described as good looking in all of these articles.
I totally pictured her as being really hot. Like walking into the room, just like pulling out a pistol and dead shooting a guy. Like,
which would be hot regardless of what you
exactly
look like. But also, no, it wouldn't. You're murdering someone. What's wrong with you, Maria? Jesus. Get your shit together.
You agreed.
I did. It's just like the movie version of it is like
the movie hot version of it is very sexy.
The reality version of it would be like, ah!
Yeah. There's blood everywhere.
Oh my God. So that's like the biggest story. But that wasn't the end of the Zealots' tragedy. So that's obviously that's like a huge scandal. Because not only did William Brooks die, but his wife, Annie Zealot Brooks, is then a widow and has to deal with the way that he died and the trial and like the, you know, the talk. What will people think? So that was really, it was hard on the whole family. Then the son of the family, Edward Zealot, he caused his own stir and family
kerfuffle.
That's a great word.
You're welcome.
Kerfuffle, because he kept getting in trouble with the law. In the 1920s, during Prohibition, he started bootlegging, and he got picked up and arrested several times for illegally selling alcohol. But he was never tried, so he was never held anything. He just arrested a lot. And he also was suspected of cattle rustling.
What does that mean?
Like stealing people's cows.
Really? That's a thing?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, at the time.
I mean, I
guess it still is.
Yep.
You can still steal people's cows.
Sure.
Cows are expensive.
I just feel like they'd be really hard to, like, steal.
Stick them in your purse. Yeah. Like, check for cameras. You're right. Like, no, it's fine.
Like, a cow can kill you, you know? Like,
yeah, but they don't usually. Okay. They're pretty docile, I guess. I mean, I'm terrified. I would never go up to a cow, but I guess, like, if you know how to deal with them, maybe?
Right. Yeah, I was charged by a cow as a kid, and that was scary.
So you just have cow trauma.
I think I have some cow trauma.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Don't cattle wrestle. It's not a good...
Not for me.
No.
No.
Okay. Yeah, so Edward Zealot, possibly cattle wrestling, probably didn't have any cow trauma in his childhood, but he died pretty young before he had ever married or had any children or anything in a riding accident, a horse riding accident. Mm. And in several articles, I read that it was just a riding accident. But in one article, I read that he got kicked in the head by a horse, and it might not have even been his horse. And they think it was because he was like stealing people's livestock. So,
wow.
If that was the case, it was sort of swept under the rug. The Zealots were a very prominent family in the area. And like I said, they gave back a lot. So I'm sure that people would probably give the Zalad boy a little leeway. Don't you think? I don't know. Maybe. So after all this family tragedy, all you have left, Annie had already moved down to LA and the matriarch of the family had already passed. So basically you had John and his youngest daughter, Pearl, and they decided that they weren't going to spend much time in the Zalad house. So they kept it and they kept it up, but they spent most of their time in LA with Annie and not in the house. Pearl, who never married and never had any children, although she did teach music and apparently taught music to lots of children for a long period of time, and maybe that's why she never had any children, because holy crap, teaching is hard.
True that. Shout out to my mom, who is also a music teacher.
Aww. You and Pearl Zalad. Okay.
That's right.
Pearl never married. She moved back to her childhood home when she was in her twilight years to spend her last like decade or so in Porterville. And she gave back to the community. She was well known in the community as, you know, being lovable and fun and a philanthropist. I love that word. Is there a better word? She had a lot of charities. I don't know. Anyway.
Generous.
She was generous. She was a generous, kind-hearted soul. She died at the age of 84. Long, happy life. Well, not always happy, but nobody says. Yeah. Like I said earlier, she left the house to the city and also a large estate to the city so that they could make a public park in her family's name. So gave a lot back to the community. All right. Let's talk haunting.
Yes.
Now, there were a few places that I got my haunting information from. I'm going to talk about the episode of Ghost Adventures that I watched at the end of this. Well, not like the end of this, but a lot of where I got my information was from various places. But also there's a website called paranormalenlightenment.com.
Hmm.
And they wrote a whole article on their investigation of the Zalad house. And apparently, I don't know if they're local or they go back and they've done it more than once. So the Zalad house does paranormal tours anyway. Like you can pay for them, but they're also apparently really open to people doing individual investigations and stuff. And they're like really respectful of that.
I just had an image of like us with like Ghostbusters costumes on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I don't want to bust all of these ghosts because some of them seem pretty chill.
Sweet.
So they went in. And here's the stuff that kind of came up. So Mary Jane's room, the daughter who passed of tuberculosis, apparently, and this is just from people who have worked in the museum, apparently every year on the anniversary of her death, the whole room will get this like medicinal eucalyptus-y, minty, you know, scent. No, that's kind of not, I mean, I guess it's not nice, but it's sort of like,
It could be very spooky, and it's just like, it makes me think of Allie's story from earlier in the show where she has like a sensory experience.
Yeah.
Where she smells coffee in her car after her sister passed.
Yeah.
And she never drinks coffee, but her sister drank coffee. And it makes me think of that, and it's just like,
but that's a really sweet story.
It's just such a sweet story. It's just like,
this could be a sweet story. It could be like Mary Jane, like, is just coming back.
She's like, I'm okay.
Right?
I'm just gonna, hey guys, just, I'm still okay.
I'm fine. Maybe. I don't know.
It's just like, I just can't imagine having that experience where you're like, I'm smelling this thing.
That should not be. It's not here. Oh, yeah. I think if I worked there and there was like a clear, I mean, obviously it's not a clear explanation, but it's like, oh, it only happens on this one day. It's not something that's intended to harm. It's just a thing.
I think I just have a really low, like, tolerance for spooky.
Oh, my God.
I'm already like, yep, creeped out.
We're terrified. We have to quit. We have to quit this. I can't do it.
Too spooky.
Okay. Well, hold on to your horses. Okay. So then moving on to Anna's room, or Annie as she went by. In her room, they call it the laughing room. at paranormalenlightenment.com. They call it the laughing room because every time they've ever gone in there and done EVP sessions, you know what EVP are?
No.
Electronic voice phenomenon. So it's where you are recording. We've picked up, we as in the podcast. We have picked up an EVP before and it sounded like someone saying no to something I had said.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So that would be an example of an EVP.
Okay.
So when ghost hunters go in, they do EVP sessions. They'll sit in a room for, you know, a long time, like 30 minutes or something, and just record a lot of silence. And for whatever reason, in this particular room, this group of people, every time they do EVP sessions, they'll just break into the giggles. And they don't know why. They'll just start giggling.
That's also kind of nice.
That's really nice. Yeah.
At first, when you said the laughing room, I was like, okay, that could be either like really, really creepy or like kind of sweet.
No, it's kind of sweet. So, and that, to me, I was like, oh, so this woman whose name was Anna, but she went by Annie, and apparently she was like really well liked and just sort of a fun loving lady. And that makes me think that William Brooks guy was a real piece of shit.
Yes,
because
right.
Because how do you cheat on a woman who even in the afterlife makes everybody laugh?
Oh, you missed out on a real gem there.
Well, no, that's the problem. He got the gem. He got the gem and he got fucking a real hot lover. whatever. Anyway, let's talk about William Brooks. So that's the laughing room. Annie's room is the laughing room, which I just think that's nice. But then there's the chair. Mm. So a while ago, the chair from the Pioneer Hotel was given to the Zalad House as to be part of their collection because it's part of their family history or whatever. So it's given to the Zalad House and people think that it is cursed. It's in an upstairs room. People report feeling ominous sort of feelings as they go up the stairs, as they approach the room. People have said if they've sat in the chair or if they're around the chair too long, that they'll start getting chest pains, even to the point of people literally feeling like they were having a heart attack and having to exit the house, like thinking they were going to have to go to the hospital having a heart attack. So this episode of Ghost Adventures is basically just about this chair.
It's not even about the nice laugh room?
No. They hardly say anything even about the family.
This was a really classy family right here.
This was a super fucking classy family. They were a real class act. And I felt like they gave way too much airtime to this William Brooks chair thing. And I've voiced on this podcast how I feel about these ghost hunting shows that really play up the drama and blah, 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 blah. Even forgetting about any of that, I felt like they were really grasping at straws. And they played up this going through and looking at all of the newspaper articles about the murder. And in one of the articles, Julia Howe had said something about like not being in her right mind, being in a subconscious mind, that she wasn't in control of her actions. Oh, so clearly she was possessed by a demon. And I'm like, or not.
Isn't this like exactly the plot of Chicago?
Like
a hot young thing, like gets away with murder.
It's exactly the plot of Chicago. I can't clap like that because it's really annoying. It is exactly the plot of Chicago. It is. It's exactly the plot of Chicago.
I kind of love it, but also it's terrible.
It was a long time ago. I don't feel super bad for William Brooks. I definitely don't feel bad for Julia Howe because she fucking got away with it. But I also don't think she was possessed by a demon.
No.
But I did write that she was possibly possessed by the rage of women everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to sort of verbalize that same thought, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rage is a powerful thing.
It is. Especially when you're like, all you had to do was keep your fucking mouth shut. We could have just had a good time. God damn it. Everybody already knows I'm a hot lover. Yay. Okay. So the last haunting story is, I think, the best one. Pearl Zalad, she was a music lover and a bird lover, and she kept songbirds, canaries. most of her life. And in her final years in the house, she slept in a room on the first floor of the house, and she kept her canaries in the bedroom with her because she couldn't get up and move around so much, so she kept them with her. When her last canary passed away, she loved it so much, she had it stuffed, taxidermied, and she kept it in her room. And when people are investigating in that room, they will often hear or even record canary song.
Again, so sweet.
Very sweet.
You, like, gave your, like, sweetest ghost story to me. Like, and I'm still spooked by it, so that's good. That was a good choice. I'm still like, wow, heartwarming so and creepy.
Okay, well, I mean, good. Cool. So that beautiful, on that beautiful, lovely note, let's talk about debunking the story. I can't.
What?
I can't debunk it. The history is all real. It's all supported by the history of the city, and it's all in the newspapers or whatever. So the murder happened, and the deaths happened, and all this stuff happened. All that's real. The hauntings are actually really believable to me. I mean, minus the Zach Bagans demon theory, I don't find that to be particularly believable at all. But personally, I feel like residual hauntings, which are like sort of like the memories of spaces where it's just not intelligent, it's not interacting with you, it's just, this is something that used to happen here. And it still happens here, you
know? There's sort of an echo of it, literally, yeah.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, yeah. It's like an echo. Mm-hmm. The medicinal smells.
Yep.
Or the canary song, like these are...
And even the chest pain is still kind of like a version of that. To me, that's also kind of believable in a weird way, that people would experience this physical sensation. And, you know, you can't really tease out, like, what could be... just them knowing the history of this chair and this place and the people. But it kind of just makes you think about how the distance between people's experiences is, like, smaller than we think it is a lot of the time. You know, that we can, like, relate. Why are you looking at me like that?
That is so deep.
Sorry.
I'm going to cry. That is beautiful. And absolutely how I feel about hauntings.
Really? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, because you said, like, who knows how much of it is because they know the history or whatever. How brilliant is the human mind that we can hear the history of something and then connect to that story enough to have chest pains?
Yes, it's very empathetic.
So empathetic. Because human beings are empathetic creatures. Ugh, I love
it. And we pick up on really, like, really subtle things. And how cool is that? And yeah. Also kind of a curse sometimes too, but also cool.
Yeah, also cool. And even the laughing room thing, who knows? You know, there might just be a picture of Annie Zalad somewhere in the house and she's laughing and smiling. And so people go in there and just get the giggles. And even that is a beautiful echo of this woman's life. You know,
it makes me think that there are, like, happy hauntings too.
There are so many happy hauntings. I hear a lot. Okay. I've heard a lot of personal stories at this point because, man, I've gotten really brave about chatting people up. A lot of the stories that you hear are stories like this.
You're sweet.
So, things to consider. The fact that this house is this time capsule to this family might make these feelings and emotions and experiences stronger. Because whether you think it's a ghost or not, that's, like, all of their shit.
Yep.
Like, all of their original stuff in one place. Their whole family history preserved. That's freaking amazing. That's, like, the ghosts of history.
I want to go there.
I do, too.
Yeah, let's do it. Road trip.
Bakersfield, I've heard... sucks. If you're from Bakersfield, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know for a fact, but I've heard that. I've heard it's not great. But Porterville is, like, right outside of Bakersfield, but it looks really cute. So, and I would like to go here. It just seems like a really cool, man, their family is just
rad.
They're just rad.
Yeah. Super rad.
I wanted to share this, like, little neat side story about Pearl being awesome beyond the grave as well. And then we'll give it a grade and move on. after Pearl passed away and left her home and this and her estate to the city and to start a park and public space and everything, these three men from the LA area came forward and said, no, no, no. No, here's this old, newer will and testament saying that she actually wanted us to have the estate and the money.
I was going to say that jokingly, but they actually said that?
Yes. Wow. So Joe and Marcus Witt, technically Marcus Witt Jr., and Marcus's son, Marcus Witt the Third. Their last name was Witt. I can't. So they came forward and they said, okay, we became friends with Pearl in her LA years before she had moved back to Porterville. And, you know, we spent a lot of time with the family. We spent a lot of time with her. And she wanted to give us back something for being such good friends. So she rewrote her will to include us in it. So here's the will. Give us the money. And it was contested, and it was actually, that's why even though Pearl passed away in 1970, the museum didn't open until 1977, because it took almost that whole 7 years to fight this in court. But it finally came out that the new will was in fact a forgery, and the three men were tried and convicted of fraud and went to prison.
Wow. Justice was served
fucking for once. Justice was served. And I have to feel a little bit like all those Zalads, but Pearl in particular, were like hanging out and going, No. Because they gave back to the, like, they were part of their community. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was clearly a part of their family culture and history was giving back.
Yeah. And I am so happy. I could never have said that I would be so happy to find out about this one little fraud that did not successfully get.
I'm so invested in this story now.
By the end of it, I was really too, like, looking at their pictures and everything, I was like, man, I just want everything to work, even though I know they're all dead and, like, none of them had kids and, like, the family line just ended there. But, like,
I still want the best for them.
I do. Yes. I want the best for their family. So let's give it a grade. Don't look at my grade. Before I tell you what grade I would give it, what grade would you give it, Maria?
Oh, it's definitely an A. I'm just trying to decide if it's like just an A or an A plus or an A minus, because it's not very spooky, but I guess it just depends on what you like value or are looking for in a ghost story. Because for me, I'm like, it's so heartwarming and it gives like...
Well, what are you looking for in a ghost story?
I've never been asked that before, Becky.
This is not, like, your final answer. This is not every ghost story for the rest of your life. Just right in this moment, what are you looking for in a ghost story?
I think I would give it a solid A.
Okay. 4. I mean, any reasoning?
So, it feels believable. You know, it's nothing, like, too over the top. Like, you know, no, there's no, like, falling dead cat corpses or anything. You know, like, it's just
potatoes manifesting from the ceiling.
It's just like, it's very, you know, you could believe all of it. And there's intrigue and heartwarming things and kind of spooky things and just sad things. And it's just got a lot of diversity and it's very engaging. And obviously I'm very invested in the story. Dang, it's an A+. Shit.
Well, okay. I also gave it an A.
Yeah.
And I just thought, honestly, mostly just for the family. Because mm-hmm. the family is just so
they
good.
They carry the story for
they
sure.
They do. Zalud family, way to just be awesome.
Yep. Fuck it up.
Just fucking stuff up. And then fixing stuff.
We dropped a lot fewer F-bombs than I was expecting in this. I felt like I needed to throw one in there just for good measure. Yes. It was my last chance.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Oh, this has been so fun.
Thank you, Maria. It has been fun. And you're lovely. And I mean, for real, I just have to close it out. So I'm going to say some business stuff. But honestly, like, you're fantastic. So remember, listeners, to subscribe and rate and review. And while it does totally stroke my ego, that's not the only reason I'm asking. It actually makes it easier for people to find the podcast. So if you're on iTunes or Stitcher or CastBox or Spotify, just hit that subscribe button and give us a quick little review. Even if it's just like, boo, that's great. Check us out on social media. We're on Instagram at Obviously Haunted Podcast. Twitter is at @obs_haunted. That's OBVS_. Obs. Yeah, obs underscore haunted. And then Facebook is Obviously Haunted. You'd think I would have made them all the same. I didn't. You could also check out our website for show notes and links and other things at obviouslyhaunted.com. And contact us, please. Send in your stories or places that you want me to research and maybe do an episode about. obviouslyhauntedpodcast@gmail.com. And also, we have a new Patreon page. And I'm just looking for some new patrons. You know, even if it's just like a dollar or a couple of dollars, or you think you could do like 1 month at like the $5 level or the $10 level, I've been tirelessly doodling glowing-eyed pigs and goat men and things for stickers. And of course, you get a shout out on the podcast if you become a patron. So if you think you want to help out a little bit, maybe buy me a cup of coffee. That would be awesome, because sometimes I stay up really late editing these.
I would believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please consider being a patron, becoming a patron. But really, like, even just listening is awesome. Every time I get a play and I see that play come up on SoundCloud, I literally squeal like a little girl. It's so exciting that anybody is listening at all. That's so cool.
Super cool.
Thank you.
I think I was one of your first listeners, and I take pride in that fact.
Oh my gosh, Maria, you actually were.
I was the first?
You were the first. Maria was my first fan, but also not really a fan because Maria knows me personally, so I don't think that really counts.
I'm totally your fan.
Awesome. Well, I am also a fan of you.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you, Maria. This was fun.
Thank you.
We're going to do this one together. We're just going to say, I'm going to say, and remember, Porterville, California, we're going to say, is obviously haunted. Yeah. Okay. I'm leaving all of this murmuring in because I think it's funny. I might not. It just depends on how it sounds. Okay. So this has been rad. And remember, Porterville, California is obviously haunted. You are so good at that.
It's because I've been listening to your podcast all day.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh.